This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to Savor, production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're talking about peaches.
Yes, because I have been seeing them pop up all over.
It is peach season as we speak.
Yes, and we are in the peach state, as Georgia is very proud to brand itself. It is everywhere. It is in all of our road names. We have a peach tree, like, drop instead of a New Year's ball drop.
Peach drop instead of a ball drop, right? Yeah.
Exactly. The Peach Tree Road Race, which is the largest 10K in the world. It's on 4th of July, although this year, because of pandemic, it has been postponed to Thanksgiving times.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That sounds like a much nicer time of year to write. Exactly.
Yes. I run this every year, and it is miserable. It's miserable. I got heat poisoning.
Oh my gosh! Years ago.
Yeah, and I think last year the mayor comes and speaks before it starts, and I believe she literally said, "Don't run it," but she meant like walk it, don't overheat. But I was like, "Is this a race?"
Oh, okay. Wow.
And it's fun because my parents used to run it, so I have all their old shirts. The shirt is the trophy in this case.
And peach emblems on all of those items. We've got a peach on our license plate.
Yeah, on our licenses. Pretty much any Georgia touristy type thing, you're gonna see some peaches. And I was thinking about this, and a terrible slash very fun time at, you know, when I was young, memory came. I used to drink Fuzzy Navels as my drink that I would order at bars, and not just one, but more than one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, hey, we all, we've had my drink of choice was the Mudslide for a number of years. So I...
Yeah, you know.
We live and we learn, you know.
Yes. And I think those are fine drinks. But
oh, sure.
I would never, ever, at my current state, order more than one.
Yeah. Sugar, I have learned, does not treat me well as a combination, in combination with alcohol. So, yeah.
Yes. And a Fuzzy Navel, if you don't know, is essentially orange juice and peach schnapps and something else. But essentially, that's it. It's a very sweet fruit drink. Mm-hmm. And that reminds me, I was thinking about all of the instances peaches show up in our pop culture. And here's your Seinfeld reference for the episode. Peach schnapps. Elaine, when she has secrets, if you want her to divulge, you just have to get her drunk on peach schnapps. It's the key.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's James and the Giant Peach. There's Princess Peach. Kung Fu Panda has a lot of stuff about peaches.
Okay.
Which makes more sense to me now that I've done this research. Uh-huh. Elf, the children's book they were going to write in Elf was about peaches.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah, right? The name of my co-host over on Stuff Mom Never Told You, her dog is named Peaches Gertrude McFuzzin. We have a very adversary relationship.
Oh, yeah?
I think we've made friends. Yes.
Okay. Peaches is coming around?
Yeah. She gave me what Samantha likes to say was an overexcited bloody lip, but she gave me a bloody lip in either case. So,
well, I'm glad if it was out of excitement and not active malice.
Malice?
Yeah.
Oh, I think so. But, you know, and speaking of malice, Peaches was the name of the woman who ran Woodruff Dining Hall at Georgia Tech. And that was on the west side of campus. And that's where I spent my like freshman and sophomore year. So I was at Woodruff Dining Hall all the time. And she was infamous. She was so infamous. She had a Facebook page dedicated to her.
Uh-huh.
And to, like, I think it was called Peaches Yelled at Me. She didn't stand for any of our college student nonsense.
Yeah. No, you got to be firm. Oh, gosh. Oh, absolutely.
She yelled at me. I have the distinct / not distinct at all honor of I was trying to, because I'm an adult and I pretty much just ate cereal in college. I had a plastic cup with milk and knowing me, Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And I was trying to take it out of the dining hall up to my room, and she stopped me and yelled at me and made me pour it out in front of everyone down a drain.
Oh, because it wasn't like a to-go cup. Like it was right. Like one of the in cafeteria only. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I, you know, it was an honor in some ways. So if anyone has that experience or knows Peaches, who I'm talking about, please write in. I would love to hear a story.
Yes. Yes. There's also, of course, the Presidents of the United States of America song, Peaches, Millions of Peaches, Peaches for Me. There's for anyone else who is way, way, way too into the Magicians television show. There's Peaches and Plums. It's Annie, you're giving me a blank look. Don't worry about it. If anyone who wants to talk about Magicians, let me know. I'm into it.
Yes. Netflix has recently recommended it to me, and I immediately thought of you.
I'm pretty sure, given that you're a big Supernatural fan, that it would be absolutely up your alley.
All right.
But yeah, it's when you get to it, let me know. Peaches and plums, peaches and plums. Anyway.
I like the inflection. It makes me believe that it's some kind of, like, sad curses sort of thing. But I guess I'll have to watch it to find out.
I guess you will.
All right. August is National Peach Month, which as we record is coming up.
It is.
I don't really get peaches that often, but my friends love them. Oh my gosh, they love them.
Hmm.
So this is a very exciting time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am, due to the whole thing where quarantine has made it so that time is meaningless now. When the first Georgia peaches started, and Pearson Farms is one particularly well-known and loved peach farm here in the state of Georgia, when their peaches started coming out in May, I was like, it cannot. It's like, I was like, it's like March. Like when, like, how can there be, oh, it's May. It's definitely May. Yeah. That is the month that it is. I love a peach. I just over the weekend, my friend had a birthday, and we wound up over grilling, as it turned out, some peaches for dessert. But we made the best of it. They weren't like charcoal briquette over grilled. Mm. They were merely we wound up squeezing the edible portion of the fruit out of the husk that had developed around them. Wound up just mixing. I had gotten some mascarpone to top these grilled peaches with, and wound up just mixing the flesh of the fruit into peaches and plums into the mascarpone, and using that to top some shortbread cookies with. It's some mint in there. Oh, it's I still have some of that tub in my fridge, and I, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, why am I not just eating that straight out of the tub right at this very moment?
That sounds delicious. And I might do the reverse, throwing the rock at the window at your house later.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get some kind of system.
Oh, gosh, we do. Oh, that'd be great.
Oh, gosh, it would be. It sounds so good. I love a charred peach. I actually like peach with basil or basil, as people like to correct me. But yeah, and I really love peaches with cinnamon. And that brings me to a fact I want to put in here that is useless, but I'm going to share it.
Okay.
I just learned a new fan fiction term, which is really impressive because I love fan fiction. And it's related to our recent classic episode on cinnamon. Okay, so it's cinnamon roll, which means in the world of fan fiction, a sweet, kind, good character, too good for this world, usually a fictional character that suffers, which is precisely my fanfic jam. That is exactly what I like.
Oh, so have you never heard this term? That's cool. I'm glad. I'm glad that you've learned a new vocabulary for that.
Yeah, and I think it's from an Onion article headline originally, where it was like cinnamon rolls too good for this world or something.
Oh,
yeah, but I'd been seeing it, but because in the world of fan fiction, a lot of those terms mean something that is very sexual. I was avoiding looking it up.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I finally had to do it, and it was so sweet. Anyway, fan fiction aside, let's get to our question: peaches. What are they?
Well, peaches are tree candy. They're a fruit that develops from the pollinated flowers on peach trees. Botanical name, Prunus persica. They're in the family Rosaceae, the rose family, along with stuff from apples to roseberries to roses. Peach trees need cool springs and warm summers to produce flowers and then fruit. So they do best in temperate regions. They are self-pollinating, but bees and other pollinators certainly help. And their flowers are just real pretty. A pink with these little sprays of like red to maroonish purple in the center. Oh, lovely. And the fruit that they grow is called a drupe. And we've talked about drupes before. Maraschino cherries, nutmeg, and pecans are all types of drupes. So a drupe. A drupe is a fruit that grows a single seed tucked away inside layers of thin outer skin and then a varyingly thick flesh, and then a hard inner pit or stone that encases the actual seed. And in the case of pecans and nutmeg and stuff like that, the flesh isn't the point, for humans anyway. We're looking for that inner seed. But in the case of peaches and cherries and other drupes like apricots and plums, it's the opposite. You don't really want the seed because it's bitter, because it contains this compound called amygdalin that our bodies unhelpfully break down into hydrogen cyanide unless you cook it out. But the flesh around the pit comes in the case of peaches in a thick, juicy, sweet layer, in shades from creamy white to yellow to blushing red. Peaches are usually roundish, about the size of an apple, though shape and size do vary. There are flatter variants, some of which just look like wobbly little donuts, and I love them.
I don't think I've ever observed this phenomena before.
Oh, keep an eye out. They're so cute. The skin of peaches ranges in color from pale yellow to red, to like a red so deep that it's purpley. And generally, varieties of peaches with lighter flesh and skin contain less acid than deeper colored varieties, though that's because farmers have selected for those combinations and not due to any genetic predisposition for those combinations. And speaking of the skin, it is fuzzy.
Yes.
And this brings us to a fun fact. Nectarines are just a variety of peach that has a single gene differing. And that single gene is just a binary function of fuzzy skin versus not fuzzy skin.
What?
Yep, yep. And researchers think that all nectarines descend from a single mutant European peach like 500 or more years ago.
Oh, wow. That's wild.
Right? All the other differences that you get between peaches and nectarines were probably started with that single genome, you know, but have been extrapolated out through breeding for specific traits since then.
Oh, well, okay, here's another nerdy art project. X-Men, but with fruit.
Oh.
So you got your original mutant peach.
Mutant nectarine, yeah. Dr. X... Nectarine.
Dr. Nectarine. And then you've got Peachy Keen and Plum Pickens, Lemon Squeezy. I'm just brainstorming. No bad ideas in brainstorming.
Oh, sure. No. We're still in the workshop phase. Sure.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Weigh in, listeners. We know you've got some ideas for this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. Okay. There are two key types of peaches, cling and freestone. And this describes how attached the pit is to the flesh of the peach around it. Freestone pits just pop right off. Cling pits cling. Many popular fresh varieties or varieties that you would eat fresh are freestone because they're easier to eat, but that's not necessarily true. It depends on what you're growing in your area, what people are shipping in. And again, you know, there are going to be differences among different varieties, but the overall flavor profile of peaches is bright and tangy and sweet and a little bit like floral with maybe some creamy vanilla butter kind of flavors in there and just a touch of bittersweet almond in there somewhere. Some have a slippy, melty texture when they're ripe. And some remain firmer, though if a peach is dry or mealy, that means that it was chilled, probably for shipping and storage, before it had a chance to really develop its full flavor and texture. However, this doesn't mean that you cannot refrigerate peaches once you get them home. You know, like if you're going to be eating them fresh especially, probably let them chill out on the counter for at least a couple days to develop those flavors and textures, because they are a type of fruit that will continue to do that after picking. Yeah. So once they're soft, refrigerate them. If not, let them hang out.
Let them hang out. That's what we say. What about the nutrition?
Peaches are very low in fat and high in dietary fiber. They've got a good smattering of vitamins, particularly A and C, and also minerals, particularly potassium. They're not like too sugary, so they will help fill you up, but won't really keep you going very long. So they're good as a snack or paired with more fats and proteins to round out your dietary intake.
I feel like I could be wrong. But I feel like peaches come up in a lot of apocalypse things, like canned peaches.
Oh, sure. They are a popular canned good.
Yeah. And I feel like maybe it was 28 Days Later where one of the characters is saying, like, you can eat these canned peaches and half your Coca-Cola, but you're going to have a real sugar. You're going to have a real problem with sugar crash later.
Oh, I feel like they come up in Lost as well when Hurley is like basically eating nothing but canned fruit. For the first several days to weeks, and like eventually has to go make friends with other people because he's like, I need a source of protein.
Yes, I remember exactly the episode you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some numbers for you.
Mm-hmm.
China is the world's largest producer of peaches. In 2001, a peach monogram listed 495 cultivars registered in that country.
Okay.
Three of the countries at National Germplasm repositories are being used to preserve the peach's genetic diversity.
Oh, I love National Germplasm repositories. That's and the USDA also has one at Davis, California, that reportedly houses some 700 varieties of peach.
Whoa.
Huh. Peaches, however, have one of the smallest genomes of all flowering plants and only 8 pairs of chromosomes. However, they contain over 80 different volatile compounds, which are like smell-to-taste compounds that give anything its flavor. And the reason, by the way, speaking of volatile compounds, that peach pairs so well with mint is the same reason that mint juleps are tasty. Peaches have some of the same like oaky, nutty, vanilla flavors that oak-aged whiskey does from a category called gamma-lactones.
Gamma-lactones.
It's just science. It's just science.
I feel like gamma-lactones could be in our fruit X-Men.
Ooh, yeah.
Also, every time I think of mint juleps and mint in general, I'm reminded of the interview that got away, JP, when we went to Kentucky. Listeners, yes. He had this beautiful Southern voice, and he said all kinds of things that just were so somehow so deep and comforting, but odd.
Yeah. Just some of the, JP. Oh, we talk at length about yes. him in our Kentucky road trip episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I think we aired. So yeah, you can check out that for more of it. That really is like we weren't rolling. Like we were just there for a tasting and we just happened to get this incredibly delightful human person.
Yes. Who talked a lot about bourbon and all these oaky vanilla flavors and mint juleps. So he was so memorable every time I think of mint.
And but yeah, just these bon mots just rolled off of his tongue in this very lovely Kentucky accent. What was one of my favorites? He just because we were doing this tasting out on this patio and it was a very nice day. And at one point we were, you know, like breathing through our noses and out through our mouths while drinking whiskey because that's a normal thing to do. And he was just looking out over the vista and he just commented as if to himself, you know, I think you could live 1,000 years and never have a day just as lovely as this.
Yes. Oh, so
and
good.
And it's like, JP, like, why aren't we rolling?
I know. And he had a running commentary on Oscar the Cat and his movements. Oh. So it was excellent. The one that got away.
Yeah, this was all at Woodruff Reserve. JP Mattingly? Is that his name? Yeah. JP, should you ever happen to be listening, we miss you.
Yes. It was a lovely experience. It was indeed a lovely day.
Yeah. And y'all, if you ever get a chance to travel, perhaps in the after times to Kentucky and to Woodruff Reserve, you know, keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like he might be like the ghost of bourbon or something. Maybe he doesn't really even exist.
Okay, we were talking about peaches.
Yes, we were.
After China, Spain and Italy are the other two top countries in peach production. The U.S. is fourth. And after apples, peaches and nectarines are the most important economically important fruit crop in the EU.
Wow. So,
huh, I know, right?
Yeah.
As of 2019, the world was producing over 22 million metric tons of peaches per year.
Whew, that is a lot.
Mm-hmm. And U.S. peach production during 2019 was some 800,000 tons, valued at over $600 million. Of that, about 45% is sold fresh and 55% is processed. And of that, most, like 83%, is canned, 17% frozen, and the remainder dried or otherwise processed.
But, all right, now we have to clear the air. Mm-hmm. We have to address the elephant in the room.
We do.
Though Georgia is known as the peach state, it actually only accounts for about 0.38% of the state's agricultural economy. And peach production in Georgia only accounts for about between 3 to 5% nationally.
Huh.
So.
Okay.
Small. In 2014, Georgia only had 11,816 acres of peach orchards. Still, that amounts to 130 million pounds of peaches each year. But California and South Carolina produce more peaches than Georgia does.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia peaches do typically mature a bit earlier, which in the past helped the state cement its status as the peach state.
A bit earlier than other eastern states. Anyway, California's growing season is April through October. Southeastern peaches don't come in until May. California does produce the most peaches in the United States. Some 56% of our fresh peach crop and 96% of our processed peaches as of 2017. But Jersey produces about as many peaches as Georgia. So,
oof.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Furthermore, the peach is the state fruit of Georgia. It is also the state fruit of South Carolina. South Carolina sometimes bills itself as the tastier peach state. And I'm just like, dang, that peach tree is shady. Like,
I do declare. I am outraged and offended.
Yeah.
Anytime I get to try a Southern accent, like a real Southern accent, fun times. Well, no, that's not a real Southern accent at all. What I mean is the cartoonish Southern accent.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I remember this from a couple years ago. Stephen Colbert, who was from South Carolina, did a whole rant about how South Carolina has more peaches and they're better and they should be the peach state. And also, don't get me started on barbecue. And I still remember it, Stephen Colbert. I won't forget.
Is it? Are you starting a grudge with Stephen Colbert right now?
There's been a grudge ever since he aired that piece.
Oh, heck. Well,
that's right, Stephen Colbert. I'm coming for you. And I'm going to bring peaches.
Oh,
and
dear.
We'll see.
What?
We'll settle this.
I guess bless both our hearts, because I guess I'm obligated to be like your second here for this for this peach battle.
I love it. I love it. I am sorry that I am so rash and outraged over things that are pretty meaningless.
While I think about the trouble that you've just gotten both of us into, we're gonna get some history for you in a minute. But first, we're gonna take a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
So, peaches.
Mm-hmm.
The peach was most likely domesticated in China all the way back in 1000 BCE.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, merchants and travelers carried peaches west on the Silk Road to Persia.
Oh, where they grew quite well, and they are still a bountiful crop in modern-day Iran.
Yes, and after Alexander the Great encountered peaches there, he brought some back with him to Greece. Peaches were being grown in Greece by 322 BCE, and they were being sold in Rome by 50 BCE, where they were called Persian apples. The Romans spread peaches throughout Europe with their empire.
Mm-hmm. And that botanical name that I mentioned, Prunus persica, comes from this association with Persia. The name peach itself also derives from the same association. The Latin persicum and Greek persicon became pesca in medieval Latin and then pêche in Old French.
Huh. Interesting. It's kind of close to the word for fish. It makes me want to do further research.
Oh.
Chinese farmers wrote of the best growing practices for peaches in the 6th century CE, including the use of torches to keep insects away during Lunar New Year and a bunch of other things, a lot of things. But that was the most interesting one to me personally.
Huh. Yeah.
In 1000 CE, over 30 peach cultivars were documented in that country. Sometime in the 1500s, Wu Chang'an wrote Journey to the West, in which a character named Monkey King eats the peaches of immortality from the peach garden of the Heavenly Queen Mother. And perhaps because of this, in China, the peach is sometimes a symbol of immortality, and the tree itself sometimes is viewed as the tree of life. Peaches are also sometimes given to older folks to wish them long life. And aww, according to some things I read, brides might carry peach blossoms at weddings. So please write in if that is true.
Yeah. Oh, that would be a lovely addition to a wedding bouquet, certainly. And also, I wanted to do a side note here. Journey to the West is, if you have not heard of it or read any of it, it's this epic story that a lot of other tales are based on. Like, for example, Dragon Ball Z.
What?
Yep. Goku is the Monkey King character. Yeah, a bunch of anime, like Sayuki was based on Journey to the West. There's a lot of amazing translations and iterations of it. So definitely look that up if you never have. It's a great little bit of storytelling.
Mm-hmm. I have such fond memories of being in elementary school, and me and my next door neighbor would get home from school, and Dragon Ball Z would come on, and we'd call each other on the phone, and we would watch it together, but we would get increasingly annoyed every time because Dragon Ball Z, infamously, at least in the United States, was probably 20 minutes recap. and 10 minutes new stuff. So we would be on the phone like, come on, yeah, we know, get to it, come on, we know that. And we did it every day.
Oh.
It was so fun. I had great time.
I don't have a lot of experience with the property, but I understand that it's big.
Yes, yes. We went to that Dragon Ball Z-themed noodle restaurant in Orlando.
Right, in Orlando.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. That was a really good pho.
Yeah. And there was that like kid dressed as Goku there. Yeah. Like a little baby.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
That was great. At any rate, peaches. By the 1200s, the surname Peach had showed up in Europe. And sometime around the 1500s, the word peach was sometimes used as a verb to mean to inform against or betray one's accomplices. Although this does not come from the fruit. It's from variants of the word impeach, which itself is from a whole separate root, the Latin petica, meaning like a shackle, and coming from the root ped for foot. Though, interestingly, both peach, the fruit, and impeach, the verb, were entering English around the same time in like the 1300s to 1400s. So I wonder if there was just some like cross-pollination there.
I would never peach against you, Lauren.
Oh, me neither against you. Thanks, Annie.
Yeah. In the 1500s, peaches made their way to North America with Spanish monks settling in the St. Augustine area in Florida. Because the seeds are hardy and easy to transport in the pits, they spread relatively quickly in the South. Peach trees were common around Jamestown, Virginia by 1607. John Lawson, who was a British explorer and naturalist, wrote about peaches in 1700, quote, "They make our land a wilderness of peach trees." And he was particularly referring to all of the peach trees he saw and all of the fruit on them in the Carolinas.
Oh, yeah. And this is a common issue with peach farming, actually, that that peach trees will put off so much fruit that you really have to prune it back, if you want to get the best peaches out of the deal, because as with many kinds of fruit trees, if you just let them kind of grow willy-nilly, they're going to be growing more for the seeds than for the quality of the fruit. So cutting back will let them really develop the biggest, juiciest fruits possible. But in the case of peaches, they will grow so many heavy fruits that you'll just have branches breaking off by the end of growing season.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
By the end of the 1700s, the word peach could be used to mean an attractive lady human. the usage of this would morph to mean a good person in general, like, oh, what a peach, by the end of the 1800s.
Raphael Moses often gets the credit for being the first to market peaches in Georgia in 1851. He also often gets the credit for being the first to market them outside of Georgia, pioneering a way for safely shipping peaches in champagne baskets.
Huh.
Peaches were shipped up to New York from the port of Savannah between 1858 to 1860.
Yeah, this would have been the start of around the time when refrigeration and ice were starting to come up, the technologies for those. Sure.
Yeah. And we have a Belgian father and son duo, Louis and Prosper Berkman. And they brought an orchard in Augusta, Georgia, and named it Fruitland.
Fruitland.
I know. I think they named it. Other people might have named it that. But in any case, it was called Fruitland soon after it was erected. And their goal was to demonstrate that fruit could be an important crop in the South and a potential replacement for cotton, which was very detrimental for the soil when you think about just growing it over and over. In the 1850s, a group of horticulturists started experimenting with selective breeding of fruits like grapes, pears, and peaches in an effort to create a strong fruit economy in the South.
Okay.
The Alberta peach was their biggest success story. Its texture and long-lasting flavor allowed for it to be shipped all across the country with less ice needed. After Samuel Rumpf debuted it in the 1870s, which it was named after his wife, by the way,
aww,
the number of peach trees in the South went up by 5 times from 1888 to 1924. Rumpf was also integral in finding ways to ship peaches more effectively. And because of all of this, Ralph is sometimes known as the father of the Georgia peach industry. Georgia peach. Ah, southern accent, you elude me every time. By the 1880s, Fruitland was sending 25,000 catalogs across the United States.
Oof.
The peach industry also took advantage of the newly available labor after the Civil War, a time when the South was looking to rebrand itself and pivoting away from cotton, which was a crop associated with slavery and poverty, to fruit instead was a part of that. Because the successful growing of peaches often depended on brushing up on some literature, peach growing was viewed as refined. I saw some old articles even refer to it as European.
Okay,
indeed. They were also expensive. Peaches were, meaning that the labor force, largely made up of Black people, making the peach industry run, could not afford them. On top of that, peach orchards typically didn't make a profit for the first 3 or 4 years, meaning that many newly freed Black Americans could not afford to start their own orchards.
Yeah. And wrapped up in all of this, we also get the descriptive term peaches and cream, which refers positively to pale complexions around the turn of the 20th century.
Right. From 1922 to 1926, growers out of peach-growing hub Fort Valley, Georgia, hosted peach blossom festivals. And these were essentially marketing events that boasted and perhaps exaggerated about the peach's prominence in that area. There was a barbecue, a parade. There were speakers from members of Congress. There were governors speaking, a pageant. It was a big to-do. One year, they had a camel and National Geographic reported on it. They reported on it.
All right. Sure. Yeah. Why not?
Sure. I suppose. Another year, the pageant queen wore a dress belonging to actress Mary Pickford, valued at over $30,000.
Whoa. Okay.
What? Attendees came from all over, and some estimates put the crowd at around 20,000 people, flooding into the town's population of 4,000 people. Ooh. While some things changed from year to year, there was always a play that told the story of the peach in the form of a young woman who searched the world for her home. She went all over until she finally found it in Georgia, her one true forever home.
Huh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yes, yes. At the time, Fort Valley was pushing to be the home of the new Peach County, which they eventually were able to successfully do, making it Georgia's 161st and final county. And these festivals were instrumental in solidifying the largely untrue and at the very least extremely glossed over narrative of the Georgia peach.
Huh.
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Georgia was marketed as being the peach state as early as 1939.
And along with all of this, the historically Black college Fort Valley State University was created primarily to educate Black students about working in peach orchards. Huh. The school went on to become significant to the civil rights movement in that area. The peach industry in the South has gone through several rough patches. Pest, brown rot, peach tree short life, which I believe is peach trees dying within 2 years before they've really given you fruit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that was a big problem in the 1960s. To combat this, growers successfully campaigned for a new peach lab in Byron, Georgia, with the help of Senator and Chair of the Subcommittee on Agricultural Appropriations, Richard B. Russell Jr. The growers argued that not only would the research be good for boosting peach growth, it would also be informative in growing other fruit in the South and providing for jobs for Black Southerners and, in their words, keeping them from, quote, already crowded offices of our welfare agencies. Yeah. This was also during the Civil Rights Movement when Black growers were calling for equal rights. Coupled with the population shift in the South from rural areas to cities, the peach industry's previous use of and reliance on systemic discrimination became abundantly clear. But all right, hard pivot. James and the Giant Peach was published in 1961. And the movie came out in 1996 and forever haunted my dreams. I have not seen it since, but I've learned it is on Disney Plus, and I think I'm going to see what happens when I watch it.
Okay. I think you should. It's
all right.
It's pretty great. I mean, it does have some heckin' animation, but sure.
All right. Heckin' animation. And speaking of animation, I guess, Princess Peach first appeared in Super Mario Brothers in 1985. And yes, this is a food show, but I really must read this quote about their relationship.
The relationship of Mario and Princess Peach?
Yes.
Okay.
From James McMahon's Games Radar article. The quote goes as follows. Should we really be encouraging the union of Mario and Peach anyway? Remember, this is a man with side gigs as a doctor, a carpenter, a pro-kart driver, and an archaeologist. Unless we forget, he regularly competes at the Olympic Games. What chance of a healthy relationship? And for all the work Mario puts into saving Peach, he rarely sees anything of the reward. Maybe Peach is just mean. Yeah, she'll give Mario a kiss on the nose. Sometimes she'll bake him a cake. But let us not forget that Princess Peach is the Dolterian ruler of the Mushroom Kingdom. Can she not put a knighthood his way? Some other title? Can she not stretch to one evening on her at the kingdom's nearest Pizza Express? The whole article is very delightful, full of things like that.
Oh, well, heck. Yeah.
So if you're nerds like us, go check it out.
Sure.
Yeah. But all right, away from video game Peach named characters.
Uh-huh.
Georgia. Georgia officially named the peach the official state fruit in 1995.
And I hate to add this in, given our recent grudge match against Steven, or recently named grudge match. Yes. I don't know how long it's been going on for you with Stephen Colbert, but South Carolina did name the peach their state fruit back in, like, I want to say like 83 or 84.
Boo. No. Wrong. I won't stand for what I say again.
Due to climate change, peach production has really been in flux around the world over the past couple decades, with some really previously steady farms producing less and some traditionally less successful regions producing a lot more. But the overall value of peaches has been on the rise.
And we must end with a very, very important note about the peach emoji.
Okay.
Yes.
Another emoji ending. Cool. Yeah, I'm into it.
Yes. Surprisingly, we get to talk about emojis more often than I could have ever imagined on this show. So yes, the peach emoji, sometimes called the butt emoji, was introduced in 2010. And if you'll allow me, I would love to read this entry from dictionary.com.
And I love that dictionaries, some dictionaries are including information about emoji in These Are Modern Times. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Dictionary.com has a whole section of emoji definitions, so.
It's part of our language. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, please.
All right. Officially called the peach emoji, the butt emoji was first introduced in 2010 under Unicode 6.0. As its fuzzy cleft appearance looks like a plump rear end, the peach emoji quickly became to stand for buttocks on social media and in text messages, especially a woman's in sexual context. In 2016, Apple released an updated version of the peach emoji that resembled the fruit more than the anatomy, but the change was met with such popular uproar that the company reverted to its original design. Oh my gosh, that's so great. I love that so much.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and also recently, there was the impeach emoji with Donald Trump's impeachment, and it came to stand for resistance, and there's an entry on that as well in dictionary.com. So the peach emoji has got a lot going on.
It does. It certainly does.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. I mean, much like the word peach itself, and the fruit itself. Sure. All around. Lots yes. going on. But we've said pretty much what we have to say about it today. We do have some listener mail for you, but first we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And we're back with Listener Mail. It was a peach tree, and then it gave you a peach.
Oh, lovely. Oh.
Uh-huh. And that's actually a great segue into this Listener Mail.
Okay.
Yes. Sydney wrote, upon hearing that Lauren has never watched Kung Fu Panda, I want to encourage you to give it a try. It's delightful, and we can all use a bit of delighting nowadays. Furthermore, Atlanta Zoo had a panda named Po after the aforementioned Kung Fu Panda. I think the DreamWorks studio donated money for the naming rights, but it's for a good cause. With such connections, how could you not watch the movie? I agree. As a child, I lived near the Beijing Zoo, and whenever relatives visiting from out of town were jazzed about taking the kids to see the pandas, I would be all confused, like, what's the big deal? We see them once a month. Aren't there pandas where you live? In one of those visits, a cousin saw a golden pheasant and wondered aloud whether a bird this pretty would taste good. Oh, dear. Yeah, that's one of my favorite memories from China. I have a similar memory from India, actually. But I was driving to a school on the highway, and Panda just crossed to cross, like, both lines of traffic, the median.
Just kind of just strolled right on, just like, okay, like you do.
He found some bamboo, was eating it in one of the lanes, and we were all just kind of like chilling. And then he turned around in the other direction. And we're like, okay, are you going that way? And then he turned back around and we said, okay. He hung out for quite a bit.
Just taking his panda time. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Chengdu. I went to Chengdu and there's so many pandas there. And my brain sort of was like, no. This can't be. I've never seen this many pandas in real life before.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. For the record, I don't have any kind of resistance to watching Kung Fu Panda. It's on our, we have movie nights sometimes.
We do,
The Saver team, and it's on our list. I just haven't yet.
Yes. She's very open to the idea.
Working towards it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's very sweet. And the peach scene. The peach tree scene is very sweet. So.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right. Heck. Stephanie wrote, I was so excited to see your episode on oregano. I just wish it had come out a few years ago. I'm originally from a Mexican household in California and grew up eating loads of oregano in soups and stews, marinades. It was one of my mom's core flavorings. I moved to the UK in 2013 and missed nice Mexican food, but I was a lazy student who couldn't cook, so I ate frozen pizzas and didn't think much about it. A bit over a year in, I got really homesick and bought the stuff to make a vegetarian version of my mom's favorite soup. Veggies, stock, oregano, some other seasonings, but it just didn't taste right. I chalked it up to being a bad cook, but even over the years, as my cooking has greatly improved, it never tastes quite right. I was talking to my mom a few weeks ago and complained again that my food didn't taste right, and she finally explained that I'm most likely using Greek oregano rather than Mexican. I thought having to learn a new word for cilantro and zucchini was confusing, but now there's different oreganos? I've just ordered 10 ounces of Mexican oregano from my favorite online Mexican shop, which doesn't sound like a lot, but is apparently a very full freezer bag, so I'll be having a lot of Mexican food this summer. Anyway, I finally had an excuse to share my silly misunderstanding. I hope you're keeping safe, and thank you for keeping me entertained and hungry.
10 ounces is a lot of oregano, yes.
That is. But I have faith in you to put it to good use.
Oh, absolutely. And please, like, if you feel so inclined, send us some of the recipes you're making, what you do with it.
Uh-huh.
You got a whole world in front of you with 10 ounces of oregano. Mm-hmm. I definitely didn't know there were different types of oregano until that episode too. So
me neither.
On the same page.
Yep. That was a whole new oregano world.
Oh, now that song is in my head. Very catchy. Super producer Dylan used to like to sing that one at karaoke. I always think of him when I hear that song.
It's a good karaoke song. Yeah, there's a lot of Disney songs in our karaoke outings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which probably says a lot about the type of group that we are. But anyway, all right. Thanks to both of those listeners for writing in. If you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter @SaverPod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks as always to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taíno, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.